Welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Glowacki. I am the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. And I'm so glad you're here. So today we're going to talk about getting stuck in block three, which is outings and using other restrooms. Before I launch in, I did want to tell you that I finished my final edits for the 10th anniversary revision of Oh Crap Potty Training. So that is going to print and that will be out May of 2024. And the old version will be available like right up until that book is released into the world. So there will be no period where there won't be a version available. But if you are planning on potty training, you know, this summer and you want to wait for the new book, that you can do that. And we'll also have pre-sales available. I'll put the link in the show notes. I also want to let you guys know, I'm going to do a whole other podcast on this topic. More and more, I'm being presented with behaviors that have nothing to do with potty training. But because they're in conjunction with potty training, people are asking me about that. Go to my other podcast because there are parenting issues at hand. Yes. And sometimes what happens in potty training is this milestone, because your child is in control of their bodily functions, sparks a lot of autonomy. It sparks a lot of like control. I can do this, or your child, you know, maybe showing behaviors that they never showed before, but they're not potty training behaviors. But I did want to mention that we do have the Oh Crap Cafe, which is my new platform, and it's a community of parents for parenting struggles. So this isn't potty training focused, and I don't even allow potty training questions because it becomes a potty training thing and not a parenting thing. And that is available on my website. You can click on jamieglowacki.com and go under Oh Crap Cafe. And we have live meetings with me twice a month, and I answer questions within the feed. And it functions a lot like a Facebook group, which is what I was looking for like a year and a half. I wanted a place where we could all commune together and have be able to post without me posting as like the expert and then you guys commenting on it. I wanted everybody to be sort of like the virtual village. And so that is happening, and it's very exciting and it's very cool. So again, you can go to jamieglowacki.com and click on the Oh Crap Cafe if you want to join up. All right, let's jump in. Block three. So block three in my book is outings, which naturally bring use of other potties. And what we're finding, both me and a lot of the Oh Crap consultants, are that some kids are getting really stuck there and getting very tied to one potty or getting tied to a very specific scenario. Very common is like only being able to go with one parent, or only being able to go with somebody who holds their hand or gives them a hug. And certainly these can be tools that we use in the first couple of days. But let's go through this. So if you haven't begun potty training, know that this is a pitfall. So right away, try not to foster any weirdness about like, oh, no, I just want that potty. So I do recommend little potties. I recommend the same little potty, like preferably not different colors, because toddlers can just go sideways for the strangest reasons. Like you can have a very healthy, well-adjusted child who just goes sideways about something and it just gets weird. So we want to like not allow that weirdness to even creep in. So I would definitely right from the start, if your child's like, no, just mommy, no, just daddy, right away, I need you to start with like, no, daddy takes you to the bathroom too. No, this is mommy's turn. We really want to not feed into that. And that I have episodes on that in my other podcast, Oh Crap Parenting, when kids choose just one parent. There are definite preferences that kids have throughout life. You know, of course, the first year kids mostly want mom because mom gave birth, mom had them in utero for such a long time. You know, a lot of times if you're nursing, mom's the supply for food. And then throughout the years, there'll be a preference for dad, there'll be a preference for mom, just depending on the age and what biologically your child needs at that point in time. And so it is for real that there can be parental preference, but we don't want to allow it in things that can, again, foster that weirdness, right? So I get all kinds of things, and I'm actually going to do a podcast on Oh Crap Parenting about this, like tiny dictators dictating who goes where, who sits where. And pretty soon you create a monster. You create a kid who thinks they're completely in charge of the house and in control of other people. And that's definitely not something that's healthy for the child. Then it's not healthy in a society, right? You can't give a child the impression that they control other people. So right from the get-go, I would not allow that. And I know this can be hard. This is, for some kids, this milestone of potty training can be really janky or jarring, and they are looking for control. So if your child is dictating specifics about what potty, about who gets to go with them, about what they need, make sure their control bucket is being filled. Yeah. And again, I talk a lot about this on the other podcast because this is a parenting thing, right? Control. A child needs a certain amount of control in their life. If they don't have that control, they will start to be either tiny dictators or be very, very helpless, right? So that's definitely something right when you start off. Now, let's say you're a week or two in or even longer, and it's a little too late. This, you know, you've created this monster. And I use that term loosely, like it sounds so much worse. It's not a monster, but it's become probably a hindrance. If you're reaching out and like, I don't know what to do, it has become a hindrance. And I think part of this, there's a couple of components like under the surface. When I say you've created a monster, we have to remember that we're always teaching our kids, right? And so you've created a monster of a situation. I don't think your child's ever a monster, right? But we have to kind of look without shame, without guilt, is say, oof, I messed that one up. Yeah. Or, ooh, I can see where I let this get out of control, or I can see where I did this. And a freaky thing that's happening right now in parenting is so many people are coming to me like, fix my kid. My kid's doing this. And I'm like, yeah, but we have to look in the mirror first, you guys. We have to look because we are always teaching, only because they're always watching and they're soaking up our nonverbal communication. I call it our vibe. They are soaking up all the things that we're not saying, but we're feeling, and we are communicating through that nonverbal communication, right? So we have to look at us. And again, not to shame, not to guilt anybody, but we can't fix something until we know what went wrong, right? So number one is you have to get your attitude straight and be like, okay, yes, I did give into this. I was so concerned, you know, potty training was going rough and it just seemed like an easy way. So many potty training mistakes happen because in the moment, it seems like the right thing to do. It seems like the easiest thing to do. And it's not that you're necessarily looking for a cop out, because I definitely don't think that's true. But what will happen is you're overloaded. You're busy. I mean, I don't know one single mom who's like, I got this. I'm not stressed, right? Like, you know, that your day's packed and you just need this kid to pee. So you will resort to all kinds of crazy behaviors or allowances because it's like, it just makes life easier, right? But another secret thing is we've got this lodged in our head, and I don't know where the heck this started. And I really probably think it was big diaper propaganda. And if you don't think there's big diaper, I can go into a ton of facts about the diaper industry, but there is big diaper. Yeah. And I think it was like propaganda that you're going to psychologically mess up your kid if you mess up potty training. This is such a false thing. There is like, we're overusing the word trauma. We're overusing the idea that our kids aren't capable. Our kids are delicate flowers. We have to tiptoe around them or the whole world's going to explode. We also have come to a place in parenting where it's a version of snowplow parenting where we will not allow our children to go through any distress. Going through some distress, and I'm talking about your regular run-of-the-mill potty training distress or the myriad. I'm not talking about high distress, PTSD, really traumatic events, right? But we're really overusing this whole concept. And parents are trying to appease their children into happiness at all times. If the child is not happy about it, then maybe it shouldn't be done. Maybe it needs to be curtailed. Maybe it needs to be adjusted to be special just for that child. And we turn around in the same breath and we say, oh my God, this generation's so entitled. Yeah. And I see this all the time right now with Gen Z, who Pascal is, I think, an older Gen Z, which is like everybody's bitching about Gen Z being so helpless, but they didn't learn helplessness on their own, guys. We made them helpless. And I include myself in this group. There are certain areas in my parenting that I have been way too accommodating. And allowed my, you know, not had my child go through something harder or more distressing. And he should have to go through those things because life is not easy and we will all be in distress at some time. But if from a very young age, we are taught, no, not that feeling, no, and make everything happy. That is a version of snowplow parenting and your kid will suffer in the end. We have to let them go through some hard things, know they can do it. And that's what builds resiliency. And this is one of those areas. It's so hard because there are babies and the last phase we were in with them was infancy, right? So it's one of those things that we have to be cognizant of because it will slip away from us. And one of the reasons I wrote, oh crap, I have a toddler, is I was seeing this mistake that parents were making in the gap from 2 to 3 years old. 2 years old, we're soft. No, we don't hit. No. Like we don't, there's not a whole lot of ramifications because we know our kid is still learning and they're going to have shitty behavior. They're going to have impulse control. And then somewhere around three, we have to start actually disciplining and teaching in a solid way. Because if we don't, discipline is from disciple, which in Latin means to teach, right? We need to start teaching in a concrete way because those same behaviors will now become a habit. And then you will have that 4 or 5 year old who is now out of control, can't be in social settings, can't hang out with friends, has wild impulse control problems that start affecting their whole lives. So it's a very weird thing because if somebody doesn't draw this to your attention, it's so easy, right? There are babies. They're so little. And two, I know, feels just as, we know they have more skills than one, but it still feels so little, right? Three still feels so little. And so it's really, really tricky. We have to start allowing them to go through some difficult emotions, to go through frustration without fixing every single thing for them. Now, sometimes I think this is what plays into getting stuck in block three and having kids set these really strict parameters under which they will pee or poop. And then you get sort of, what do I want to, like, caged in, right? Because if your kid will only use one potty or one restroom or go with one person, you end up getting screwed at daycare or when you're out and about. I tell this story in my book and I often tell it on this podcast, but it bears repeating. Early on in my poop career. That's right. I didn't always do this for a living. I had a client, a mom and dad couple who approached potty training like Navy SEALs. They were amazing. And the dad was just like, yep. Well, if that's a weirdness that can happen, I'm going to nip this in the bud. And the second or third day of potty training, they were in block three and the dad set aside the entire weekend, took his little daughter out everywhere. So they ended up peeing at Target, the library, they went to friends' houses. So right away, early in the process, this little one got so much exposure to other potties that it was like not even a thing. Okay. So that is an idea that you can take, set aside a day or two and you can split it between you and your spouse or even, you know, if your parents or other caregivers and get out of the house. Yeah. And go do fun things. And of course, make it a fun day. It doesn't have to be your kid being dragged along to Target so you can do a full shop. It might be like, hey, let's go get an ice cream cone. Let's go, you know, you can make it a fun day, but you want that exposure. Now, again, I've said this like in conjunction with public restrooms, but this bears repeating too. I think it's okay to have a potty in your car when you are going places. If your child has gotten very strange and is setting these strict parameters around the potty use, you may not want to do that. It may just be a simple, oh my goodness, I forgot your potty. Okay, you can do it. You can do it. And a lot of this is your mindset and your attitude, right? Your nonverbal communication. So if your nonverbal communication is, okay, we're at Target. I don't have your potty. We're going to try a new restroom. Okay. Dude, that's not leading. That's not leading with confidence. Even if your confidence is false, right? You have to lead with confidence. And so that might look like, oh man, I forgot your potty. All right, come on, let's go in. Let's go, you know, let's go get a little, I don't know, whatever you get. Like Target's got Starbucks in it, right? You could get like a little cup with whipped cream in it or something, right? For like a treat. Hey, let's go get a cup of whipped cream and then let's use the potty. Combine it with a fun thing, get them to the potty and get them releasing. Now, Target's a bad example because I use Target because I think we all go there and they have Starbucks. But this is really, if your child's struggling with public restrooms and or the restroom at school, we got to get them peeing in other places. So the best thing to do is to start at a friend's house, right? And maybe a friend's house with like not a whole lot of distractions, or maybe your parents' house or something like that, where you can use another bathroom in comfort, in peace. So that would be a really good place to start. The next thing to start is someplace quiet, like the library, where your child knows the expectation is to be quiet. And that may help with like potential freakouts, right? Like they may be able to rein it in a little because they're at the quiet place. But also I think libraries tend, at least the libraries around here, tend to have like a family restroom where it's one, you know, one toilet in one room. So you're always going to have better success in those settings, right? Because you don't have the stalls, you don't typically have the room that is live, meaning there's tons of tile and steel, and that sound bounces back, and it can be very jarring for a little one. So those single stall rooms are single bathroom rooms are another really great place to start. And if it's really like, if your child's really gotten to a place of like high distress, can only go with one person, go with only one potty, in that case, I do think it's okay. They have to go out with the other spouse. They have to. And in that situation, it may be okay to take the potty chair with you. So the potty chair is in a different setting with the different parents. So you have changed some components of this puzzle. Yes. And so that can be very helpful. Peeing on a car tire is so great. So with little girls, you would have to help them, of course, you know, kind of squat. But with little boys, they can, you know, just pull out their penis. And that can also be a great place to get releases that are not in that particular spot. So those are the strategies that I would use. And this can sometimes get so out of control. You know, if it's happening to you, really try to nip it in the bud right now, like right now. Do your very best to get to it. The longer it goes on, the more cemented this gets. And I will say, the toughest client I ever had with this problem, the child would not pee at school, would explode in an accident, would not go. We tried like everything. And finally we settled on the mom had to go away because she would not pee. She would only pee for mom, period, at home and then at daycare. And the mom would sometimes go in to the daycare, interrupt her work day to go to the daycare so the little one could release. Like that's not tenable, you guys, right? That's not sustainable. So we ended up having the mom go on a little vacation. So if you need to go on a vacation, you can act like this is your problem. I give you permission. But we had the mom go away for 4 days and everything resolved. So that's an extreme case. This had gone on for about a year. So it was super cemented in the little girl's psyche. We don't want that. So really with any problem, the minute you see it on the radar, get rid of it. And don't be... This is a tough one too. I think the dynamics with mom and dads, there's a dynamic I see with dads sometimes, and not always, of course, but a dynamic I see is the child will start to, kind of close things in with these parameters, right? The parameters get stricter and stricter and they only want mom. And the dad doesn't get forceful with the child and say, no, mommy's going to yoga class, or no, mommy's busy, I'm doing this. The dad gives it up and goes, yep, no, he only wants you. He only wants you. So dads, don't do that. But moms, also don't be a martyr and be like, oh, because sometimes it's kind of one of the ugly parts of humanity, but sometimes we like when our kids only need us, right? Like it does feel maternal. It can pull at our heartstrings and we go, oh, no, it has to be me. It can't be you. Don't be that person either, right? Because you're going to screw yourself and you'll get backed into a corner. And so utilize your spouse. And if your spouse is doing that, dad, had your husband listen to this, but I see this a lot with dads, which is, and this happens at nighttime, like bedtime routine, you know, the kids scream for mom and the dad's like, oh yeah, they just want you. Mm-mm. You've got to move in and be forceful with the child. No, it's my turn to give you a bath. It's my turn to help you pee. Mommy's busy. Let's go. And the more confidence you have, the less words, the less you're asking for permission. Don't ask permission from your child to parent them. it's not psychologically safe for your child. They cannot be in that control. We have to be the leader. We don't have to be forceful. And I'll go very, very, very quickly. This is in Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. Authoritarian parenting is the thing we all don't like. And it's probably how you were parented. That is the, I'll give you something to cry about, my house, my rules, you don't get an opinion, right? That's like the boomer parenting. And that is the unconscious parenting. There is permissive parenting, which is asking your child, either letting your child do whatever they want or asking permission. Is that okay? Do you want to use the other potty? Yeah. Is that okay? No. That's permissive parenting. And it really messes kids up, you guys. It really does, because there are no rules, there are no boundaries. And if you, the person who's been on the planet way longer, don't know what you're doing and you're asking a two-year-old what should be done, yeesh, not good for the psyche. But then the middle ground is authoritative parenting. And a lot of people get this confused because authoritative sounds so much like authoritarian. Authoritative means you have boundaries, means you are firm. You have rules and you follow through and you have consistency in your parenting and your voice probably sounds a lot like me. You are respectful. You can validate a feeling without making it right. Yes, I can see that you do want to use another potty and that one's not available. Come on, we can go upstairs. Let's use the other one. Yeah. Yes, I can see that you want mommy, right? We validate the feeling, but we don't, feelings aren't right. None of our feelings are right, you guys. They're valid. We all get to have our feelings, but our feelings are through our lens, our world, our experiences, and your two-year-old's feelings are through their lens. And it could be Lord knows what's going on through 2-year-old brain, right? They don't have a whole lot of experiences, but they got a lot of feelings. But they're not right. Yes. So we don't give into those feelings. We validate them. We acknowledge them. So that's authoritative parenting. And that's what everybody should really be striving for. It's respectful. It's not brushing the child off. It's not arbitrary rules. It's just consistently and firm and letting them know. Yes. And so that's what we're striving for across the board. And that's what you want. When I say, you know, be a little more forceful with the child, I mean, don't be that permissive parent, be authoritative. I don't mean be forceful into authoritarian. All right. One of the best things I've ever heard is do not allow children to do things that make you not like them, right? Because we don't want to build up resentments with our little ones. Like if we start letting them do behaviors that we end up resenting, they're going to feel that. Like you don't want to resent a 2 or 3-year-old, guys. Like that means resentfulness always comes from a boundary being crossed. When we get resentful with our friends, when we get resentful with our spouse, it's because boundaries are being crossed and we're not being firm enough or strict enough with our boundaries or consistent enough. Yeah. Okay. So that ended up being a little bit more parenting, but this comes into play when these things start getting out of hand and the getting stuck in block three can, I think, look like, oh my God, my child's so delicate. This process of potty training is so delicate. The only way we can do it is if it's here with me doing X, Y, and Z every single time. But that's not true. Your child is, the process isn't that delicate. Your child is not that delicate. And you are not that special. I love you. And I know you're a great parent, but you are not that special. I think that's a big heaping dose of something we all need to hear every once in a while. I do for sure. All right, guys. As always, I appreciate you listening. If you need further help with potty training, please go to jamieglowacki.com under Get Help. We have our pooping solutions course. If you have any pooping drama, get the pooping solutions course. We have the daycare course, which has a myriad of things that could go wrong and how to solve them at daycare. We have the night training supplement, which is things I've learned after the book was written. And I have the Oh Crap potty training, which is just regular videos if you don't feel like reading a book. Sometimes people find that one helpful. All right. As always, have a beautiful day and rock on.